Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He scores! He scores! It's all power! Oh, baby, that's hockey!
The Rangers win! Rangers win! Do you believe it?
Welcome to another episode of Believe in Rangers, a playoff edition. Like I said last week, we're going to be doing episodes every Monday and Thursday. So this is the first Thursday episode. We are on the Believe Podcast Network, and this is presented by Blue York. I just don't even know what to say. Today was miserable. This is Wednesday. We're recording. As you're listening, it's the night of game two. I was in the building last night. It felt great to be there. You know, getting the light up bracelet was awesome, and the towel and the shirt felt great. Felt like I was a kid again. But man, what a heartbreaking loss. And my phone died and I didn't know how I was going to get home. I got to give a shout out to, I'm rambling here. Sorry, Cody, but I got to give a shout out to Steve and Alexa Gross. They did drive me home from Hicksville train station after my phone died. Cause dude, honestly, before we get into hockey, I honestly don't know what it's like to find a way home if your phone dies now and there's no cabs at like train stations anymore.
Mm-hmm. Since Johnny didn't even introduce me, yep. I'm Cody Dakota.
I kind of got lost there.
And, yeah. Anyways, that fucking playoff hockey, baby. Yeah. I understand. I was mesmerized too. Obviously not the outcome we wanted, but you know what? We are resilient and we are going to come back and take this shit.
Positive vibes only.
Positive vibes only.
We do have a great guest joining us today though. Andrew Blake, also known as Based _ Chessy on Twitter. Super popular Ranger Twitter man guy.
Awesome boy. Interview. Awesome interview. Guy.
Lots of fun. We covered everything in regards to game one and gave our predictions for game two. But man, I mean, I don't know. Something about being in Madison Square Garden for a playoff hockey game, man, there's nothing like it. And honestly, like walking around the hallways, like it was impossible to even like move in there.
How packed was it in comparison to like when we went in the regular season?
Yeah, it's 10 times more crowded. Like the hallways were so crowded, you couldn't really walk. Yeah. You really just kind of felt
line.
It.
That bathroom line, man.
Bathroom line was brutal. Especially in between the overtimes, because everyone was like, when's this going to end? I got it. Like, you just got to pee because you can't plan it. You know,
and you know what? I bet you loved every goddamn second of it.
Of what?
Just being there.
Yeah, it was really incredible. Honestly, though, I was thrown off in the beginning when they didn't come out to Bob O'Reilly. It was like some random song.
Dude, what was that? Why? I don't know. What were they thinking? No, seriously.
I don't know.
Like I was talking with the buddy about it. And I also was talking with Alex Castiglia about it. Like, honestly, what were they thinking? I mean, that's the trademark. And I, the only thing I could be thinking is like, maybe they wanted to start fresh or something like that, like 5 years, but that's unacceptable. They got to bring that back for game two. Maybe they will, since we lost and they'll, you know, we could pin it on No Baba, but let's bring that back.
That's one thing too, that I think is going to be super important for game two. I think just with the way that game one ended and that, you know, called back goal and just the sudden shock of overtime, I do think the crowd is going to be way more rowdy in game two, because there was just like,
make me feel worse that I can't go.
Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I am sorry. But there, you know what I mean? There was just like a sense of like nervousness, because like people just kind of forgot what that feeling was, especially in overtime. Like there weren't many like let's go Rangers chants. I think everyone was just like kind of on edge in overtime.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're probably absolutely right. And, you know, game five next Wednesday, I'm going to bring all the energy.
Yeah. So. I'm going to be doing the old StubHub refresh at 5 o'clock, up until 5 o'clock. Probably.
Are you, dude? That's a power move. I'm definitely going to be doing that for game seven if we get there.
Yeah. See, that's the thing too. Like I usually like to try to hit one every round and like not necessarily the first round, because I always feel like they're going to advance and I would do two in the second round.
I'm gone the second round. So I'm trying to go to everyone I can.
But
it's
now it's
down to five and seven for me or in the cards. But I'm the same way. I usually like going one around and I think that's perfect, but I'll definitely be at some Eastern Conference Finals games if we can figure our shit out.
So one thing I do want to ask you before we go into the interview with Andrew, just one thing we didn't really cover in the interview, aside from the Kako, you know, that net drive and the Hedl goal being called off, what was one play that kind of stood out to you from game one or one moment?
Good or bad?
Either one. First thing comes to mind.
Kreider's goal. I thought it was a momentum shifter. You know, a few minutes later, obviously the air got sucked out from them tying the game again. Mm-hmm. But I thought that goal was huge because they had scored two straight. It looked like the wheels were kind of falling off a little bit, and they weren't the crazy bunch they were in the first, where they were, you know, really, really playing heavy on the forecheck and just all around good hockey. And that goal, you know, on a bad penalty is exactly what they needed to like get them up and going again and get the guard. The garden was getting quiet. Yeah. It was getting quiet. So to me, that was the play. How about yourself?
It was gorgeous, man. I thought of you, but about that Kreider goal, I don't know if, dude, the Kreider goal was off a faceoff and he took off. It was like a 2-on-3. And then
I told you, man, X factor.
So fast.
I told you he's the X factor. If you know, he gets it going, he's the X factor.
Off to a good start. But mine was, I can't believe you didn't even say anything about this in the interview or yet, but dude, Trouba had that wide open chance in overtime. That was your guy.
Oh my gosh. I know. With the slapper too. I know that would have been so sick if I called it and he just, I know.
Man, I was just so happy to be there. Even like, you know, in the third overtime, it was, you know, midnight or whatever time it was, but I don't know, man, something about just being in the garden and then getting that towel when you walk in, it's just a special feeling. So you're going to get that in game five, which is nice.
And yeah, well, hopefully they give me the shirt, dude, because you didn't close the deal.
You said
me.
You got one.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I think I did.
Mm-hmm. But I think that's going to wrap up our intro. We kind of just covered everything with Andrew. So I think we're going to send it over to him.
All right.
This week, we're happy to welcome on as our special guest, I guess this Thursday, because we're doing 2 weeks now for the playoffs, but new friend of the show, big fan of his personality on Twitter. We're going to get to the backstory of it right now. His name is Andrew Blake, but you might know him as Base_Shesty, AKA old time Base_Shay. So welcome to the pod, Andrew Blake. What's going on, dude?
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for having me, boys.
I think right away we should just dive into it. What's the backstory behind the Base_Shesty here?
Sure. So in college, I went to a school that was dominated by Philadelphia fans, and they were all very vocal because all their teams were good back in those days. So they had like the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the Sixers got Embiid, they were going to the playoffs every year, the Flyers were making the playoffs. So it was kind of miserable having to put up with them all the time, trying to talk about New York sports, which were all a joke. Mm-hmm. So I created this account to be able to talk to New York sports on Twitter. And the backstory for the name, the original name was, there used to be an account I used to follow called Base Savage.
Okay. Oh, I remember that. I remember that account.
Yeah, I loved his account. So I was like, oh my God, I have to do something off of that. So I figured like what players have the last name S that I use Base. So I just did Shay. Mm-hmm.
And then, bad call.
Yeah. And then about a year and a half. So I bought his jersey and everything. I tried to stick to the brand and it just didn't work out. Mm-hmm. And then when he got traded, I did like a Twitter poll and I said, what should I do my next thing as? And initially Fox won. It was going to be Base Fox, but that's already taken. So I just did Base Shesty.
I was going to say, I think that is, yeah. That is
yeah, it. Taken. Yeah. So I just did Base
Shesty. Speaking about the name before we talk a little Rangers, I did want to ask you something because I did notice, I can't remember if it was last year or a few years ago, the thing with the Preds where their PR tweeted at you. Can you give me some background story to that?
yeah. So that was, I was at a bar with one of my friends watching a game and, the Preds Twitter admin is super active and like responds to people and like,
they put up banners.
Yeah. So I tweeted out, that like, they didn't know puck or something and they said like, well, you don't know this ratio. So I was like, okay, so she sees my tweets. It's like Sarah Johnson, something. She's awesome. So I DM'd her and I was like, hey, like, would you be cool to do like a wager? Like, I feel like that'd be fun. So the wager was, I don't know if anyone knows the full wager, but the full one.
First scoop.
Yeah, inside scoop. So if the Rangers had somehow lost that game, I would have had to buy a Philip Forsberg jersey and wear it. And they were going to tweet it out. So I was in for a pretty rough time if they lost. But if they won, I just said, you just have to say, I know puck. Then, thank God they won.
Oh, you could have added big time to that. I feel like.
Yeah. I wanted to add more big time, but I was like, I'm DMing a official account. I didn't want to get too crazy. So I was like, all right, like, I don't want to cost this girl. Like, I don't want to do something insane where it's like, you got to buy me like season tickets or something.
I was going to say, you should have said, you got to buy me two tickets to the next Rangers playoff game.
Yeah, that's what I should have done. Well, they just got steamrolled. Or was it before the Calgary game? I didn't think we were making the playoffs at this point.
Yeah.
But that Western Canada trip, I was devastated. And then
I mean, it does make for the perfect Twitter header. So like you did come out. Yeah.
I changed it now for the playoffs. I changed it to a Mika reaction picture I took a while back.
Mm-hmm. Just for okay. The so, okay. Well,
we're in the playoffs and we got to hate. I guess we kind of have to like not like them because we're people. Yeah. So, but I changed.
Johnny loves everyone. So
I do. I love everyone.
But all right, let's get into the freaking nitty gritty here. We got to start off yesterday's game. Now, today is Wednesday. So we're recording now. I mean, the Heedle goal being called off. I'm going to go off, so I'll let you guys go first. Mm-hmm. Reactions.
Let's kick it off to Andrew first. Yeah, you go first, Andrew.
All right, I'll start it off. I was at that game, and I'll keep it brief. And
I was there, too. You were there last night?
Yeah, I was there. I was with that guy, you know, Immortal Lou on Twitter?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
I'll find him after, though.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. I was with him. But, yeah, so you watched everyone just audibly sigh when they caught the goal. Because, like... He's not. I didn't think Kaka was trying to run the goalie. I didn't.
Dude, he wasn't.
And if Dumoulin doesn't hit him, he's out of the way. He goes through the crease, and there's something like Gauthier does it 30 times a game.
That's his bread and butter.
Yeah, that's his bread and butter, and he usually shoots the goalie's chest, so defensemen don't play against him really. But like,
leads the league in almost goals.
Yeah, Kako's driving the net. Like he's gonna clearly go right through the crease if nobody touches him. He gets bumped and. You know, they call it what it is. I mean, I get it. Like, if I was the Penguins, I would absolutely have challenged it. Yeah. Playoffs, like, who cares? But, like, it just sucks that it happened to us. And then the fact that we had to sit through three overtimes and lose. Yeah. It just made it worse.
It was fucking torture, man. And I'm going to follow up here, Cody. I know you kind of want to be the anchor on this one.
Well, I'm going to be the fucking anchor, dude.
Yeah, I was listening to the Michael Kay show today, and Don LaGreca, I mean, unreal point. He was like, it should be the same as the NFL, right? It's a judgment call. In the NFL, when there's pass interference, they don't go back and review whether it was pass interference or not. It's a judgment call. The ref is right there. For this goal, the ref was standing right in the corner without any hesitation, called it a good goal. And I just don't get how you review that. And the logic behind it is that if Kako didn't get touched, he's going to run into DeSmith. Like, that's what they decided on. Like, you can't call it based on something that, like, didn't happen, but could have happened.
Yeah.
Very subjective. Like, exactly. Yeah. So subjective. And the thing that pisses me off the most is that they took like 45 seconds to review this, but they'll take 30 minutes to review whether a guy's foot was in the air or on the ice during an offsides call when the play happened, the goal happened 30 seconds later. So, yeah. I mean, the whole review thing is insane. And especially what pisses me off most about it is that they don't show the replay of the goal in the building. So everyone just kind of sitting there waiting to see like a replay of what happened and nobody knows. Like sometimes I feel like the crowd can kind of, you know, react and like see it and like that kind of like, you know, kind of builds momentum in a sense, but I don't know, man, the whole thing just sketched me out. And, you know, I did a whole breakdown on Twitter of the goal and, you know, it definitely sucks. There's definitely a common trend of the Rangers getting screwed with goal interferences. Like just be consistent with it, you know?
Yeah. Well, also did that like not even go to Toronto because
they did. Yeah. It was really quick though. Also, I do think every goal is reviewed in the playoffs. So they probably had it on cue like right away.
Yeah. Mm.
Maybe, but
like actively watching in Toronto. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
To me, makes me so mad. Blood boiling. I don't know. I think that was a good goal. Like we said, Kaka was clearly trying to get out of the way and his skates were out. So when the skates are out,
yeah,
and you know, he's obviously not trying to run through the guy. And on top of all else, he was pushed. Other than that, I mean, the refereeing like was just awful all night, I thought. And you know, it was like some of the calls, I don't know, but on that call specifically with the goal, I just think that was a clean goal. Referee number 28, Chris Lee, I'm on to you.
You're listening to this.
Big fan of the show.
I went through a rabbit hole yesterday and I did a deep dive. Okay. This guy refereed the Penguins in 2020 when they got eliminated by the Habs and he was all buddy buddy with Sid Crosby then. So I should have known he'd be up to some sketchy shit. So what does he do? He allows Crosby to, you know, influence him a little bit and it's not fucking right.
Honestly, yeah. I don't think the reffing was so bad last night. I just think it was just inconsistent. Like, yeah. Especially with what we saw from the first night of the playoffs. Just what we saw from the first night of the playoffs. Like, everything was called. Everything. Like, I watched that Toronto and Tampa game, and Tampa must have had 50 minutes of penalties.
Everything was called. Everything was called until the last four periods, and then everything was forgotten.
Yeah. Well, I mean, dude, it's Stanley Cup playoff overtime. You gotta let them play.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Like, I don't know if you guys saw what Valiquette posted today on Twitter.
What was it?
Like, you could literally see Crosby. The ref is watching
it. Oh, the slash on Lafreniere?
It's literally like, there's no excuse how you missed that. Like, just so.
Well, there were a couple calls that were just, sorry, Johnny, I disagree with you. I think the refereeing was horrible. I know you were up top, but
I mean, the call on Lindgren was fucking garbage. I thought that was terrible.
I mean, there was a bunch of calls that were missed here and there. I feel like there was one call on Trouba that was missed, and I don't know. It was just, I just thought it was, like you said, it was inconsistent. It was all over the place. I think, you know, playoffs is pretty much the top stage there can be. Like, you know, you need good refereeing, and I understand they want to, you know, be a little easy on the whistles and stuff, but some of those calls to me were just unacceptable. And I feel like the goal almost was like the refs saying like, hey, we fucked up on the Lindgren call. So we're going to give you, you know, we're going to give you this one. Cause obviously the Lindgren call probably should have been a major. Yeah. Yeah, no, dude. He left his body, bro.
I mean, he left his body. He was. What are you talking about? He had an out of body experience.
His soul just exploded through his body. No, his feet left the ground and he went through the body
after the fact, not before he hit him. It was after the fact. He was airborne after they made contact.
Dude, I don't know.
He didn't jump into the hit.
It looks like he jumped forward into the hit. I don't know. I had this discussion with quite a few Ranger fans, and I think he left his feet. I thought it should have been a major, and I thought they fucked up the call.
I mean, regardless of the facts, like with this goal, I think every Ranger fan that like actually watches and knows hockey like is in agreement that the Rangers didn't deserve to win that game. I mean, so that's, you know, that's like the one thing. It's like
it would be better to start, but then they just collapsed.
A great first 25 minutes and whatever the math is in the three overtimes, the rest was the Penguins.
Okay, well,
agony.
Well, talking about, you know, 25 minutes, what do you guys think was the turning point of the game? Andrew, we can start with you, obviously. Yeah.
The turning point of the game.
I can't wait to answer this.
I was pretty obliterated for part of the game. So, like, I can't say that I was so locked in and I could remember every play. But for me, when I felt like they were going to lose it, was when they called the goal up, I was like, oh my God, this is like classic heartbreak loss. Mm-hmm. But like, honestly, like, I think when the Pens got their first one or their second one, I thought they were going to win it when Kreider scored the shorty.
Yeah.
When they tied it right back up, I was like, all right, like,
we're in for one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would say if I had to pick one moment, I would truthfully say it was the no call, like the no goal call. Mm-hmm. I think that when that got blown off, and it's literally not even because like analytics or like momentum or anything, it's literally just because it's the Rangers. I've been cheering for this team my whole life, and this is how it goes.
Yeah. My answer is definitely a little different. Half joking, half serious. But I honestly feel it. So I was talking to a lot of friends about it, and my turning point of this game is the fucking Tau Group DJ. Dude, the Tau Group DJ comes on in the second period. We're up 2-0, and sucks the life out of the building. There is no reason why there should be a live DJ at a Ranger game. Bro, these guys are
so I can see that from my end.
It was during the commercial break.
Yeah.
And these guys come up and like, MSG, New York City, let's go. And it's so cringe, dude. Everyone just like sitting down. No one's doing anything. I honestly feel like, and my friend Luke said this first. He was like, yeah, that just like sucked the life out of the building. Like, we were up 2-0 and this cringe DJ came on, and then all of a sudden Jake Gensel scores, and then the game just changes. So that's like a half joke, but honestly, like, the crowd, like, you know, did kind of go silent. But I do think that the turning point of that game is obviously that first goal. Jake Gensel's left alone right in front of the net, and Igor made an unreal save, I think, on Brian Rust, like, right before. He did like a scorpion and made a save on the 2-on-1, and then like 3 seconds later, I think Trouba was out there with Miller, and they just leave Gensel wide open in front. And that just, like, after Igor made that like outrageous save, everyone's like buzzing, the whole building standing, they just score right there and just kind of take the momentum away. And dude, Gensel again, like, 40 goal scorer and you let him get behind you. I think that was Fox and Lindgren. And I mean, Sid just does Sid's thing. And there's that backhand sauce and like that. I mean, the 2-2 goal was like a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for me watching from my TV, there's a few different portions, I feel like, of last night, which you could say was the turning point of the game. But I actually think it was that Lindgren hit on Raquel. Like after that hit, it just seemed like it sucked the life out of the Rangers. Yeah.
That was still the first period.
Yeah, I know. I know. And I'm saying, I feel like it kind of sucked the life out of the Rangers. And from that point on, after that hit, they started playing a much more conservative hockey game and didn't hit nearly as much. Like in the first period, watching that game until Raquel went down, like every single hit, you heard it.
Yeah.
You heard it and you were like, damn. And then once that hit happened, it just kind of like toned down for the rest of the night. I know, you know, Kreider had a really nice hit at one point and someone else did too. But like, other than that, I mean, it was like, I just felt like Reeves was all over the place in the first, like bodying people. And then it just kind of stopped. And then the second thing is, and again, this is going to get my blood boiling, like back to the refs. I mean, they were making all these weird calls all night and
sorry to blame the refs guy.
But dude, it made me listen. I'm not one to like typically blame refs for a loss, but I just thought it was so pitiful. And it just ended up being such a big factor in yesterday's game. And like the refs have been loving Crosby for so long. Like, I'm just sick of it. Like, does anybody even really like the city of Pittsburgh? It's frigid as hell. Their downtown area smells like cat piss.
It's quite lovely in the spring.
And also, all of these random celebrities who are all of a sudden rooting against the Rangers and, like, tweeting about it, honestly, you're out of your mind, and you're a bozo, and you should probably be locked up in Tom Wilson's basement. All right, my rant's over. But
I think we should go into the positives, though. There are some positives to take away from the game. Who do you think stood out the most for the Rangers? Because in the first period, I mean, there was a lot.
And who's your three stars
for
each team?
For each team? Okay.
Yep.
So who do I think stood out for me? Well, first star for the Rangers, although they put up four, I will say Igor Shesterkin was playing.
83 saves.
Unequivocally, number one by far.
You say although they put up four, they had 87 shots.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like
83 shots.
No, he had 83 saves.
Yeah, which is crazy. Over two hockey
games. 79 saves, I thought.
Oh, really? Yeah. I thought, okay. Either way. Yeah.
Anyway, the guy's unreal. He's a machine. It feels like he's just by number one star by far.
Igor the Machine.
Yeah. Number two star. That's tough. A number two star. I would say, I mean, for the first period, I mean, I guess Adam Fox had the goal. And then who had the second one?
It was Cop.
Cop.
It was Cop. Yeah, right, right.
Yep.
That's tough, man. The second star of the game. That's tough. I'm having trouble over here, but I feel like...
All right, go Pittsburgh. Go Pittsburgh.
Okay, yeah. Pittsburgh. So number one is Chris Lee, number 28.
You had that teed up.
I was trying to...
He was like, what was his name? It was
yeah,
Chris?
I was trying to remember what it was. So first star for the Penguins. I mean, Sidney Crosby does his thing all the time, so he's definitely up there. I don't want to hear shit about, like, Louis Domingue. The guy came in and, like... Like he really like he just he had a couple saves, but like he can't.
Dude, he had 20 saves.
Two decent saves, I would say.
Yeah. Like I don't want to get at all so bad on Twitter. I'm getting like tagged in videos, like cooking things. He's got like recipes and Penguins fans are coming at me. It's so bad. I have like five of my tweets in a Penguins community. Like notification. It's they're like pack watch. It's
that's funny.
Unreal. But anyway, so I will say Crosby is probably my number one for the Penguins. I really liked how Gensel played yesterday.
Yeah.
He's just always a thorn in the side because people forget about him. They see Crosby, Malkin, you forget that Gensel is a really good player. I'll probably go with, for my third star in the Penguins, I guess maybe someone on their defense. They just locked it. They were just better than us the whole rest of the game. So I feel like the defense for Pittsburgh really came out. I can't really pick one person. I mean, they just shut us down. So I'll say that. But for the Rangers, now back to the Rangers. So first starts Igor by far.
Yeah.
I really liked how Ryan Reeves is playing. I mean, he was keeping it up a lot in the beginning with the physicality and really setting a tone early. So I'll say him. He's definitely in my three stars for the Rangers. And then who else would be on here? I'll go Adam Fox. Why not? I'll pick Adam Fox.
Interesting. Interesting.
I like it. I like it. Okay. I'm going to go Penguins, Gensel first, Crosby second, and Chris Lee third. And then Rangers, I'm going to go Shesterkin one. Number two, I'm going to go Keandre. And Keandre is actually my player who I think stood out the most. And I'll tell you why in a second.
They play good.
And number three, I'm going to go Kreider. Mm-hmm. Keandre, first of all, he logged the most minutes on the team, like 42, which is insane because he's never seen those kind of minutes ever, even close to that. He played like a warrior all night and made some really, really good plays. And that one-on-one takedown of Malkin was fucking incredible. Yeah. That Ooh, was awesome. Yeah. And honestly, any other defenseman on our team, maybe even Fox, that would be a goal because it Malkin's so huge and so overpowered. Like that was just unreal. And he just like bodied him down. It was great.
Yeah. I agree.
That was a good one. My Penguins ones are obviously similar, I think. Yeah. You know, Gensel, yeah. Crosby one and two. And then honestly, I feel like I noticed Mathisson a lot on defense. Not that he like did anything special, but I find that he was so noticeable last night. He kept like having pretty strong zone entries and skating the puck over the blue line. So he's the guy that I noticed like randomly. And then for the Rangers, obviously Igor's one. And then honestly, that kid line, man, Kako and Lafreniere, those were like my two and three. Those two were buzzing. Hedel had some chances in the first period. I don't know if you guys remember, I think it was Laf that like gave Hedel like a little nudge pass from behind the goal line. And Hedel just shot it short side instead of far side. He had the wide open net far side like in the first like 3 minutes, but their first two shifts, those three, man, Lafreniere had like three big hits. Like he was buzzing, man. I was really nervous about those young kids and they came out strong. They were our best line by far, I thought.
You think so?
Yeah. I thought they were our best line.
I thought they really played well. I really like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I thought they played really well too. Laf was buzzing and honestly, Hedel had a really good game too.
Yeah.
I didn't notice Kako as much, but
no, he played good. Yeah, he had like two solids. I mean, the goal obviously that was like called off. He made a great play, but like he also had another chance. I think in the, I want to say second period. I don't know. I just thought he was all over. He looked strong. He played a heavy game last night.
Yeah, I gotta say honestly, I loved how our fourth line played yesterday too. Yeah.
I
loved it. And Johnny, Andrew, last week, me and Johnny were debating over who gets that last spot, Reeves or Hunt. And we both agreed it has to be Reeves.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was for sure the right decision. I mean, he really made his presence known. The only problem, like I was saying, is, you know, when you have a guy like that in a triple overtime game that you're not expecting, it's incredibly tough when he has to go against guys like Crosby or Rodriguez, who can just like blow by him when he's super exhausted. So those are, you know, but obviously that's some unforeseen circumstances and hopefully we don't see an OT game like that again. But I thought Reeves played great. I thought Rooney had some good shifts and Goody played great too.
I want to ask you specifically, Andrew, about Panarin. Yeah. What'd you think about Panarin last night?
I mean, of course, it's tough to like credit because that guy is like a walk highlight reel. Mm-hmm. But I will say last night, I don't know if just the Penguins had his number or was just an off game, but I felt like he was a bit more quiet than he usually is. Mm-hmm. But he's again, invisible.
He was invisible.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say invisible, but he just like wasn't like he just wasn't urgent. There was no urgency in his game.
He needs to take the shot. He needs to stop. Like it's playoffs. He's too cute. He needs to, exactly. He's always going for that extra pass, and I get that. But, like, when you're wide open coming in on a fast break or anything, like you got to take the shot. You got to stop thinking pass first. He has a beautiful shot. You got to just take it and trust your goddamn shot.
Like, yeah, I think it was him who even said in an interview, like, when it's the playoffs, like, don't try and, like, be extra. Just keep to it. Like,
right.
He's the kind of player where he takes risks, but it's like, the risks I would like to see him take were like you said, like a quick shot off the fast break or like, you know, not risking an extra pass where it goes wider. Mm-hmm. So it's not there. Like, you know, so I think he was definitely more quiet than usual. I'm not sure if it's just because the Penguins just had his number, but like, I don't know what it was, but he definitely wasn't like the Panarin we saw in that Canes game where he was like inside and out on everybody and being like walking highlight reel like we're used to. But a rare off game for Panarin, I'll say.
Yeah. Well, can I add someone else to this? Because and this one's actually going to be with an asterisk. And what are you smiling at, Johnny?
I was going to ask about one more guy too, but I'm curious if you're thinking the same guy.
Is it about Patrick Nemeth?
No, but he had two pretty bad penalties, I thought, right?
Okay. So I thought Nemeth, so this is why it comes with an asterisk, because I think if you wipe those two penalties away, he actually played his best game as a Ranger, I think. Agree. But he took such dumb penalties, which took the air out of any good night he was having, because both those penalties led to goals. Dude, it was so bad. And they both led to goals. They both led to goals, which ended up being part of the reason why we lost the game. And he's just not that good enough of a player to be pulling that crap come playoffs. And if I'm GG, if Lindgren is a go tomorrow, I'm benching Nemeth, because those, I was legit stunned when he made that second penalty, because it was just as dumb as the first one.
They were really like, bad penalties.
Like, and honestly, and Johnny, I know this is one of your guys, but like that's something I expect Ryan Strome to do, not Nemeth. Like,
well, when the offense, you know who led the team in shots last night?
Yeah, you know who didn't score a goal last night?
He had an assist. He had a great pass to Kopp. That was a great pass.
That's cute. That's cute. Yeah, that was a nice pass.
He had more points than Panarin last night.
But you know what else he did? He also missed that shot.
Dude, I don't care what anyone says.
Blame him for the shot.
I don't care what anyone says. Adam Fox is probably the best passer in the league, and that was probably not the worst pass I've ever seen him give. But you're in the slot in double overtime.
If it was Zibby or Panarin, they would have scored, but it was Strom, so they wouldn't. So he didn't.
It's double overtime. The pass is on his like front foot. You played world hockey, what, 11 years? I'd love to see you fucking put that one in.
I would chuck my skate at the puck and make sure it went in. I would do whatever it takes to make sure that puck goes in. And
I hate the Ranger fans that yell at Adam to shoot, because Adam's the best defenseman on our team and Norris Trophy winner. But in double overtime, it's also his first playoff game. Like, yeah. I think he'll learn from that. That's going to be a play that he like obviously like not necessarily dwells on, but he'll remember that next time he gets a chance in the slot in a playoff game. And I guarantee you he shoots. Absolutely. Also, I think Kopp was wide open on the other side too with a better
angle. Yeah, Kopp was the better move. Yeah. But yeah, you can't really blame Strome. I just like to blame Strome because he's your boy.
Because I love him.
But exactly. But
I love Strome. How do you feel about Strome, Andrew?
I like him, but man, oh man, those misses on those empty nets all year. Yeah. I don't hate the guy. I love the guy.
I don't hate him either. No. I don't hate him either. I just like Andrew Kopp more.
Yeah.
I think for as a long time, he was like Panarin's a perfect compliment for Panarin. Then we got Kopp, and all of a sudden, like, is on fire. But like, oh my god, dude, I still can't get that shootout miss over Detroit out of my head.
I was there, bro. It was brutal. I was there. Also, I was there at Rangers money line. I was about to freak out.
Houston, we have an offensive zone faceoff problem.
Yeah,
because that was bad yesterday. Like, I don't know. Did you guys think like we literally just could not win an offensive zone faceoff?
It felt like that.
Yeah, it did feel like it felt like we were playing. They were playing like, what is it in Chell? Like superstar AI.
I felt like, agreed. I felt like Crosby was beating us in a ton of faceoffs. And that guy, Teddy Bluger.
Bluger won every draw. Every single one.
Every single draw. He had to have been at least 75% on the night. Like I every single time that guy took a draw, it was a win, and I couldn't believe it.
You know what's super interesting? Oh, sorry, Andrew, go.
No, you go ahead, Johnny. You go ahead.
No, you go.
Oh, I was going to say, it stinks too. Like, if you're not winning faceoffs and you have to spend, like, part of the shift chasing the puck, like, it fucking blows. Like,
oh, my God. He won 73%.
Did he actually?
73% of faceoffs against us.
Yeah. So awful.
I was just going to say, too, the one faceoff that I remember, like, actually winning clean bobbled over Keandre Miller's stick and went out of the zone.
Yeah. Was that who won it? Was that Kopp won it? Or was that Strome?
I don't remember. I just remember it bobbled.
It was Kopp who won it. Yeah, because Kopp was taking the faceoff in Strome's place, and it was the only one we like went against Teddy. Mm-hmm. Teddy Boogers.
But also, like, those are so big. Like, people don't understand like how important faceoffs are. I mean, dude, think about two of the most like legendary Ranger playoff overtime goals. Like, I think, you know, obviously St. Louis against Montreal is probably one of them, but then the next one, I think the first one, Stepan, game 7 against Washington.
Dude, that's Morris was really big too.
That's not overtime. It wasn't overtime.
Oh, I didn't hear you say overtime.
I was saying overtime, like, offensive zone faceoffs are huge. Like the Stepan goal came off of an offensive zone win, and the Mark Stahl goal against Washington, offensive zone draw. Like, these are huge.
And guys are so tired too that you need to win those draws. I know you're going against Crosby. I know you're going against Malkin and Boogers, whatever his name is. But listen, you got to win those draws. I understand everybody's tired, but like, you know, when it's incredibly frustrating. So, all right, boys, what do we need to do to regroup and get this win tomorrow night?
Put that behind us. Well, tonight, as you're listening.
Did you want me to go first? I don't want to.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay.
You're our guest.
What do they?
you're our third co-host.
We talk to each other all the time.
Yeah. Welcome to the Believe in Rangers podcast. Here's my guest today, Johnny. And so what do we need to do to win game two? Oh, man. Well, definitely pay a bigger bribe to the refs than the Penguins are paying.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to start a GoFundMe.
Make sure Chris Lee stubs his toe.
Yeah. Make sure.
You know if it's the same, sure, is it the same refs?
No, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I thought you had the inside scoop with the refs.
Dude, I don't have any inside scoop since I'm no longer going to the game because you made me feel like a bad person. Yeah. Andrew, I have COVID, so I was supposed to go.
Yeah.
So I was supposed to go to the game tomorrow, but because I'm out of quarantine technically tomorrow, but I still have like a little slight cough and like my nose isn't really stuffy anymore, but just like a cough. But Johnny made me feel bad saying that if Panarin got COVID, he'd sue me. So
yeah.
So I can't go.
Oh man, dude, I had COVID like when it first started back in.
This is my first time, and it fucking sucks.
Oh, yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah, thankfully it's almost done, and I'm going to the game Wednesday. So as long as we don't get swept, I'll be there. Yeah.
Is that game five?
Yeah,
game five. Yeah.
Okay. Word. Nice. Yeah. So what do the Rangers have to do to win game two? So like I said, bribe the refs a little more than the Penguins are doing.
Yep. Fund their kids' college.
Yeah, like they absolutely hammered the Penguins money line somewhere in Toronto. So definitely that.
Buy from the booth.
Literally.
I mean, just like you said, like Panarin literally said it, like sometimes in the playoffs, like you'll have to try and take risks. And like, I'm not saying don't be stupid with the risk, but like you said, like don't try and be too cute. Like it's the playoffs, man. They got Louis fucking Domingue net. Throw that shit on net. Like don't make that extra pass. Like, I think that'll do wonders for their game. That forecheck that we had in the first period was unreal. So if they can keep that level for 60 minutes, they're golden.
Stole my answer.
Yeah. Dude, it was unreal. Like Revo is like, we just throwing everybody. Mm-hmm. They had no answer. They had no answer.
It's as simple to me as we just need to play 60 minutes of physical hockey. Like you could see in that first period, they were completely overmatched when we play physical and the goals will come. We have enough skill guys that the goals will follow. Like that's how we're going to win this series. They got to get physical and just keep that going for 60 minutes. And obviously they need to find some way somehow to get Breadman going because that's going to be critical, I think. But
I want to add to that, just like on that Raquel hit in the first period. I don't know if they showed it on TV, Cody, but Gensel was on the other side of the ice down too.
So was he?
Yeah, they had like Crosby. Crosby was going over to like see how Gensel was doing, and Raquel was down. We seemed like the fucking most badass team ever.
Like, imagine Gensel just like got up and like flopped and faked it and was like, "Yeah, no, I'm good, bro."
No, I think they got to notice that and go after him in game two. They got to definitely get under his skin a little bit, you know, try to do something behind the whistle like what Crosby did to Lafreniere. Play dirty, don't get caught. Will Ferrell kicking and screaming. You know what I mean?
Kicking and screaming.
What a quote,
Johnny.
You know, I was going to tweet too, Cody, you're going to give me shit on this, but if the Rangers won last night, I was like, do we start Georgiev for game two?
Well, I'm speaking of movies. I'm pretty sure Patty Clarkson gave me COVID, the Miracle Girl, the one who I
texted. Yeah, he saw it.
So
the actress,
Andrew,
right?
Yeah, the actress.
I don't even know the backstory.
So I went out to eat over the weekend.
You know the backstory on our inside joke?
Yeah, dude. What?
Oh, I thought it was like a movie thing. You said the Miracle Girl?
It is a movie thing.
Oh, I think
Johnny's doing a terrible, terrible job of like trying to make you understand. So I'll do it. So I went to a restaurant
with
a friend over the weekend and I sat next to Patricia Clarkson, the actress. So she's the wife. She's Kurt Russell's wife in Miracle.
Yeah.
So the next day I got COVID. So I tell Johnny that she gave me COVID.
Worth it.
Kurt Russell's fake wife gave you COVID.
Yeah.
That's not
the only people
can say that.
Super sick story.
Yeah. That's a crazy story. Dude,
I know.
I have no interactions with like famous people. My most memorable interaction ever was when my first game at Continental Airlines Arena, Chris Drury threw me a puck.
No way. Had it.
So now he's already, and I'm like, yeah, this is a puck from our GM. Like,
you know what? Cool. You know what mine is? Funny enough, like I just graduated college and I got this first job in the city. So I was commuting into the city one morning. Yeah. And this guy next to me as I'm walking to work is like talking super loud. And I'm like louder than everybody else walking. And I'm just like, what's going on? And I look to the right and then I see a camera in my face. And to the right of me is Damian Lewis and Paul Giamatti in a suit filming Billions just on the street. It was season one, just on the street. I could be an extra. I don't even know, but literally God. Just on the street, like not telling people to move out of the way, just organically filming it right next to me as I'm walking to work. And I'm just like, oh, had my headphones up. Hey, wow. Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. Isn't that Damian Lewis? Isn't that the guy from like Band of Brothers? I think he's from.
Yeah, dude. And Homeland. Guy. Homeland guy.
Yeah, that's it.
Rody.
That's how. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's probably mine.
Chris Jordan, look at me. He just threw
Johnny's
it
about to say his and he's about to rattle off.
I wasn't gonna say mine. I wasn't gonna say it.
Oh, you got a good one?
No,
dude, he knows like every single NHL player that ever lived. Like in 1940s when Johnny was in his mom's womb, like you know.
I mean, I guess I'll say a funny one. When I was younger, I was at the, I was actually at the Knicks game when Melo hit those like two threes against the Bulls, like the one to tie it in regulation, then the game winning three in overtime, like that Easter Day game. And after the game, I was walking in the streets of New York and like, I was really like walking directly, like face to face with Brandon Dubinsky. Like I was like, Dubie, what's up, dude? And I was I was like in 10th grade.
Awesome.
He wasn't really that nice though. That's kind of a bummer. I thought he like dapped me up. He was like, he's giving like a head nod.
You know who was super nice? Richter. So I like went in the NHL store to like buy a hat and Richter was just there. And I was looked up at him. I was like, yo, let's get a photo. And he was just had a conversation with me. Nice guy.
We're about to do a whole another podcast episode about people we've met.
Yeah, exactly. All right. I mean, boys, you got anything else to add?
You guys got plans for game two?
Yeah, my bedroom stuck in COVID land.
I was supposed to go with my dad, but he has to go away for work. So I don't think I'll be going. I'm probably just going to be watching on my TV or maybe go somewhere because I work in Manhattan. So I maybe go somewhere in the city to watch it. I
think. Yeah. What are you doing for game three?
Game three? I know the Blue Shirts breakaway.
We're going to that.
Are you guys going to that?
Yeah, just come.
Yeah. So I might go to that. I just don't know if my friends at home want to do anything because I haven't prioritized that. But I mean, a couple people were texting me who I'm friendly with on Twitter that I have to go. I was like, oh, that'd be pretty cool to check it out. So
there's gonna be a red carpet.
yeah. We all get eight. I remember they did one. I was at the opening night one. It was so much fun. They gave away ace. Everyone got
to win. I saw that.
Named 12 alternate. The game wasn't fun. I mean, the Capitals steamrolled us, but it was still a good time. So
that's great. Yeah.
What about game four?
We'll go through each game. What about
I'm just fucking with you.
Me and Johnny are gonna be wearing our Shesty shirts, so you'll know it's us.
You're wearing your Shesty shirts?
Yeah, we got customized shirts for our podcast.
We'll send you a link.
Yeah. Holy, I just ordered, dude. So you don't know him on Twitter. Never mind. The Lou guy has a hoodie. You know, Ryan Meady posts the I Wanna Die thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The dolphin.
Okay. Yeah. So this
is
guy,
that a dolphin or a dolphin unicorn?
I think it's a dolphin. It's a dolphin.
It's something. Unicorn. Yeah. It's
something.
It's a thing from Elf. The narwhal. Narwhal.
The
narwhal.
That's it. The narwhal. So he got a hoodie that has his picture. Like he was in the ocean. Someone photoshopped him in that water with the dolphin.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
And I found out last night that someone added me into it and ordered me the hoodie. Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my God. So I'm going to be in a hoodie with Lou.
That's amazing.
Dolphin, so I have to see. I can't wait to see how it turns out.
That's awesome. Well, Andrew, this was great, man. Hopefully we'll link up on Saturday if you come.
Well, I got one more question for you.
Johnny's got one more. All right.
So I think a lot of people didn't anticipate us being down 1-0. Now what's your prediction for the series? Because I had Rangers in 6. Cody's Rangers in 5. I don't know.
Yeah. I'd also have Rangers in 6 in my bracket. Mm-hmm. it's safe to say that it's definitely not going to be as easy as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be not a cakewalk.
That's like, everyone though. Everyone overlooked them.
Right. I thought we'd be like, we were the better team going into the series, but I mean, you can't underestimate Crosby, Malkin and those guys. Yeah. I still think the Rangers will win it, but it really, if they like just get like shit on game two, then I'll be like, okay, well, we might be in for a rough time.
If they lose game two, they're in trouble. Like I think home games are so important, especially like with the fan base and whatever, like they have to find a way to win tomorrow. I don't care if it's like tripping Crosby into Chris Lee or whatever they need to do. They just got to figure it out.
I'll hop on the ice if Crosby has a break. Yeah.
Someone threw something after they called that goal off. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that on the ice.
I think Joe Tolleson made an announcement. He was like, don't throw anything.
Oh, my God. I threw my rally towel down and knocked my beer over. So I was cleaning it up after the call. So after they said it was no goal. So,
oh, man.
I was so pissed, bro. I was so pissed off about it.
And then the three overtime, we had to sit there for 2 hours.
And I was sitting on the bridge. I was like ducking to look through the glass the whole night. It sucks. I mean, the bridge is a really cool view, but if you're like in the second row on the bridge, it's kind of harder to see. Like the first row of the bridge is great, but like, cause you can't stand because then people behind you can't see. It was like a weird dynamic.
Johnny was also like bobbing back and forth cause he was drunk on Michelob Ultras.
I was watching it's skinny boy summer. I'm watching the carbs.
Dude, guys, I was so blitzed this whole time. So like when you guys were asking me my three stars, I was like, I gotta be honest, man. Like I don't really remember the goals.
Yeah. Well, actually, that's a good point though. Cause honestly, I thought that every single goal that was scored for the most part was like a pretty nice goal. Like there wasn't like any garbage goals in that game. You can argue that the overtime goal was like the least nice one.
Do you mean by nice though? Like, because the second goal against us, the Gensel goal was like trash. Like,
that was a fucking sick backhand sauce by Crosby.
Oh, no. Maybe it was the first one then. Oh, you're saying the pass? You're saying the pass by Crosby?
No, every goal was just like a nice goal, like Kreider's breakaway, Copp's.
But that's
one-timer.
What I'm saying. I didn't know how you were defining nice.
Just like no like garbage, like bank off the defenseman skate, like that usually happens in the playoffs. You know, like they weren't just like throwing pucks to the net and like seeing what happened.
The overtime goal was
the only one.
Fucking lucky.
Yeah. But you can't like blame Igor for any goals.
No, not one bit.
I mean, the Kreider goal was so nice. He's just so good at that.
Unreal.
And he's so nice. So good at it.
So nice, dude.
He's too nice with it.
Yeah. But
that was amazing.
Yeah, I think that's gonna wrap this one up and we'll get you back on hopefully if we get, you know, further in the playoffs here. But hopefully we'll see you Saturday.
Yeah.
And last thing, give us your score for game two.
Okay, score for game two.
That's probably why we lost, because we didn't do fucking predictions for game one.
I'm going to give you an even better prediction, and I'll even throw in a wager to make it a little fun.
I have a wager as well. It's probably the same thing.
All right. I'll predict it's a 3-2 Rangers win. I think Copp will get the game-winning goal, and if that happens, I'll jump in the ocean again.
Okay.
What's the wager? That's the wager.
I was going to say, I'll jump in the ocean or like, I don't know, I'll get a Copp jersey or something.
Oh, I thought you meant like an actual sports bet, like on the game.
No, I'm a degenerate. That's already happened. The game two bet has already happened.
Yeah.
Mine too. Yeah. I did a 4-leg parlay. So for game two. Yeah.
What is it? Let's hear it.
It's Rangers money line over. There has to be a goal in the first. I know you said you were hammering the under, but there has to be a goal in the first. The third one was under 4.5 goals total per team. So both goals can't get five, either team can't get five goals. Mm-hmm. And then I think the last one, what was the last one? I don't remember what the last one was, but it was a good one.
Alrighty. Definitely not riding that.
You're doubting me? Yes. Wow. Okay. Well, anyways, my prediction is 4-2 Rangers.
Okay. I'm saying 3-1 with an empty netter.
Rangers,
yeah.
Okay.
If it's Penguins, we got a problem.
Yeah. We have a serious issue, fellas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But all right, Andrew, this was great, man. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, boys. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Of course. Dude, appreciate it. We'll be right back.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.